Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
Hey girl, how you doing? My name is Charlie. Let's make room for you. I was wondering if I could take you out.
Take you out.
Name is Charlie.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the show, and welcome to this show. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I'm your host, Frank Williams. Thank you guys for tuning in, and welcome to the show. The call-in number is 818-301-5834. That's 818-301-5834. Now, today's the weather today turned out to be a very, very decent day. It started this morning with rain, and but it kind of tapered off around 10 o'clock or so, and then no more rain the rest of the day. So it's been a pretty nice and calm day today, and I hope you guys have enjoyed your day. It's Friday, and I hope you had a great day at work if you work today, or have a great night tonight if you have to work tonight like myself. But anywho, again, thank you for tuning in. Those who are listening via my show page online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in. And those who are listening via cell phone at Blog Talk, listening via cell phone, thank you guys for tuning in to the show as well. Now, I promote the show, guys, daily on Twitter and Facebook, and, of course, Blog Talk Radio. So any of those avenues, you can follow the show, and you'll never miss an episode of the show if you don't want to, okay? Now, today's show is brought to you by our sponsor, CPA. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. That's 770-732-0244. Whether it's personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on duty can help you with any and all of your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. Now, again, thank you guys for tuning in. 818-301-5834 is the number to the show. Call in. Let's talk. You don't want to miss this show. You just don't want to miss this one. Today's episode is entitled, What If Division I Schools Couldn't Recruit African American Players? And if you got a message from the show, you'd see the message saying for the next 15 to 20 years. What if Division I schools couldn't recruit African American players for the next 15 to 20 years? What happens? What happens to these Division I schools? What happens to these big colleges that get millions and millions of dollars every year from their athletic programs, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever the sport, okay, whatever the sport, what if they couldn't recruit African-American players for the next 15 to 20 years? Now, these top players, these highly talented athletes would have to go somewhere and play, right? What if they went to the historically black colleges to play these sports? What if that happened? And you know, we're not too far removed from the time when Division I schools would not recruit African American players. And not couldn't recruit them, but they wouldn't recruit African-American players. Didn't want them in the same locker room. Wanted it to be segregated. okay? And it wasn't really until the 1960s, mate, that African-American players were allowed to attend Division I schools. I believe it was Bear Bryant that went to, I think, Oklahoma or somewhere to play. And Oklahoma had, and they just ran all over Alabama. Bear Bryant said at that point, I got to have some of these on my team. And some of these, what he was meaning was African-American players. So Bear Bryant was the one to bring the first African-American player to the University of Alabama. And it's been history ever since. When you look at some of these Division I schools, now I added someone to tell me that, Frank, you still need these, you know, you got these big white guys that play the offensive line. Well, that's not true. Now you have these big black guys that are playing on the offensive line. Most of these Division I schools have maybe one or two white players on their offensive line. The rest of them are African-American. And defensively, look at defense. You got 90% of the players on defense that are African-American. And running backs, receivers, African-American players weren't allowed to play Division I back in the day. That's not that far removed, guys. But think about it. Over the next 15 to 20 years, Division I schools weren't able to recruit African-American players. If there was a law handed down saying these schools couldn't recruit African-American players for the next 15 to 20 years, what would happen to these Division I programs? What would happen to the school in itself? What do you think? 818-301-5834. In my opinion, and I told you guys a long time ago, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm going to try to be 100% truthful to you. Give you my honest opinion. My opinion is that these Division I schools will fall apart. They lose their fan base. They lose TV contracts. They lose the money that's coming in. Millions and millions of dollars. Then you'll start seeing a power shift that goes from Division I schools to the smaller Division II schools, like some of the HBCUs. And HBCU is that stands for Historically Black College or University. You'll see these schools start to get a platform under them that rises them up from where they are. Huge money will start to come in. TV contracts would be signed. And these schools will start to rise up. Division I schools will start to fall. They will start to see their foundation crumble. Because now they don't have the money to put into these into the school, into the program, none of that, into their pockets, which is where I understand a lot of the money goes, into their pockets, not into the players' pockets, but into the athletic directors, and the board of directors. They're getting this money. So what if Division I schools couldn't recruit African-American players for the next 15 to 20 years? See, it's all about money, okay? It isn't about the players. It's about the money, okay? It's about the money, and that's what I want you guys to see. Is that it's all about the money. They wouldn't have 100,000 people at a game on Saturday. Because now they don't have anybody to watch. And don't get me wrong, there are going to be white players that people want to see. There are going to be still some great white players. But the overall picture is that the schools wouldn't be able to compete. Just like you turn the table now, where these African-American players are going to Division I schools, they are making a whole lot of money for the schools. And then you go down to the Division II schools or the HBCUs where they aren't getting the cream of the crop for the African-American players. They don't have the money that these Division I schools are bringing in. And that's why they sit as low as they do. They don't have a chance for a Division I national championship. Because the high recruits that are coming out of high school, I understand that these players want to be seen. They want to put their talents in front of you. They want to be able to be on TV. So they go to these big schools that have the TV contracts that are going to be on TV every Saturday. Y'all with me? And that's what happens. So what would happen to these Division I schools if they couldn't recruit African-American players? That'd be the cutthroat sign. They wouldn't make it. How long would it take for the number one school in the country in football, Alabama, to fall apart? From this point forward, Nick Saban couldn't recruit African-American players anymore. How long would it take for him to quit? How long would it take for a Michigan, a Notre Dame, a LSU, a USC, Georgia, okay, Oklahoma? How long would it take for these guys to crumble if they couldn't recruit African-American players anymore? Do you think they could still compete? Okay. Do you think they could still compete? I think they fall flat. And I'm not, you know, I'm not pushing it. That's their hustle. All I'm saying is, it wasn't that long ago when we couldn't go to Division I schools, when Division I schools wouldn't recruit African-American players, when Division I schools didn't want African-American players. They didn't want them because they didn't want them to mingle with the white players. That was the division in America at that time. But, you know, when things happen, sometimes when things happen, other things happen as a result of that. And then after Bab Bryant got his butt kicked, he turns and recruits an African-American player and bring him on the campus of Alabama. And then from then on, most scholarships that these Division I schools have go to African-American players. Okay? And it's because of money. Simple as that. Money is the root of these schools. And they get that money because of what? Because they have African-American players. That's the root of it. That's the short of it all. The only reason these schools are getting this money is because they have African-American players. Y'all with me? 818-301-5834. What if Division I schools couldn't recruit African-American players for the next 15 to 20 years? They fall apart. They are no longer relevant. Now you have the rise of these HBCUs. Man, good God. Now that would be a sight to see. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not going to say it that it won't happen. But what if? We can always say that. What if the schools had continued not to recruit African-American players at that time? What if Bab Bryant had never gotten an African-American player? And what if it was still like that today? The HBCUs, they actually wouldn't be. These guys wouldn't be Division I. They'd be second rate because they wouldn't be able to handle well. They probably wouldn't want to play the African-American teams because they didn't want to play African-American teams back in the day when they weren't recruiting African-Americans. They didn't want to play them. They didn't want African American players on the same field. They didn't want them in their locker room. They didn't want them in the hotels. But now, look at them now. Look at what's going on now. Just look around, guys. I know, you know, this is a touchy subject, but it's real. It's real. And I have to say, I've been thinking about this a while, and for it to come up again in conversation with some people, I had to talk about And I have to let people know how I feel. That's why I do the show. 818-301-5834. Today's topic is, what if Division I schools couldn't recruit African-American players? Touchy subject. And today is usually Free Fall Friday, but I used it today to talk about this subject because it's touchy. But at the same time, a lot of younger listeners out there don't know that African-American players were not recruited by Division I schools 40 years ago. They didn't want them. They didn't want you guys' ancestors. They didn't want them. But now, they salivate over them. They're salivating over these young players that are in high school, that are great players. They can play. That's all they've been doing most of their lives, is playing football, basketball, baseball, whatever. That's what they've been doing. That's why they're so good at it. Okay? And the athleticism, the comparability of the athleticism between black players and white players are just, it's not comparable. Now, I'm not saying all white players, because there are some white players who are comparable to black players, but they're very few and far between. Okay? So if Division I schools only had white players to recruit from, I don't think they stay where they are in rankings. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. This Frank, I'm over, and I'm out. Good night.
Taking up my time.